Kari Andrade and the Buffer. I'm Julia Scatliff O'Grady. When I began my search for Good Busy, I could think of no better person to visit than Kari Andrade. Kari was my first year roommate in college and is the most punctual person I know. She shared her secret with me. Showing up on time, she said, anywhere to see anyone, you must set aside a little extra time just in case. She calls this practice the buffer. In a successful career with the international corporation Cargill, Kari lived and worked in such cities as Amsterdam and Beijing. Kari and her husband Art and two children settled down in Hillsborough, North Carolina. She is now a financial advisor, and our two families are friends. I spent a morning with Kari in the studio to talk about the buffer. We were lucky enough to bring our daughters into the conversation. We even talked with Kari's dad, Eddie. So here is multi-generational time management.
Being late has always made me anxious or feeling uncomfortable. It makes me feel like somebody's not going to like me, or I'm going to offend somebody, or I'm not showing up my best way. And I don't like to be rushed and feeling agitated, you know, about trying to get someplace on time. I really don't like that feeling. And so the buffer is a way for me to add in extra time for me to get from here to there and factor in what if, you know, traffic's bad, or what if I have to stop to get gas, or I want to go fix my hair or something before I'm meeting somebody. So it's a way for me to get someplace always on time and not be stressed out.
The buffer practice when Good Busy came out in 2012 was probably the most mentioned practice. But just as it's a very simple practice to understand, it's quite elusive to build into your life. Maybe you can't even understand that. But for some people, it's really hard to think about leaving early.
Well, I think maybe it's our society that putting that extra time in is maybe kind of seen as a waste to some people. And I think that people don't like to be early because they're not comfortable sitting alone or being seen as not in the community. Like if I'm sitting there alone on my phone or just sitting alone quietly, what's wrong with me? Why am I not doing something? Why am I not busy or something like that? But it's easier for me. It makes me feel a lot better when I do it.
The buffer practice, you're holding certainty and uncertainty in as realistic a manner as you can. You're saying, I think it's going to take this amount of time to get somewhere. I value being punctual, but I don't know what might happen along the way. So I make space for uncertainty.
If you, and this may sound kind of controlling, judgy, but if you want to be productive, you can't be really relaxed about time, I think. Especially if you're working with other people. Because if somebody shows up and then you've wasted other people's time, you know, and that whole concept of wasting time. So what is that all about, you know? And I think there's an argument to be made that time is never wasted. It's just what have you chosen to do with it and can you relax into it? And I have difficulty relaxing into just not being really efficient and productive with time. It's a way to move through life. You know, this is how I move. And it works really well for me. It makes me feel less stressed out. Makes me feel more comfortable. It makes me a happier person if I do that. I think it may be my earliest memory is this was this brown house that we lived in. And I remember the back yard as being huge, and my mom stayed home with us, and I remember having like tomato soup and grilled cheese. So it was kind of a sweet time before my parents divorced, and I was upstairs washing my hands in the sink. It's a pedestal sink at the top of the stairs, and I left the water running because maybe my sister called me or maybe my mother called me, but I got distracted. Obviously, I didn't finish what I was doing. And I came downstairs and forgot all about it, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And my mom later saw it, the water cascading down. And I don't remember ever seeing her that angry. She was so mad at me. And I remember that feeling of just being wrong and bad and shamed. And I didn't like it. And from that, I learned that I need to try and control my environment to the best of my ability and to be aware of things. And I think that was formative for me, that it made me not want to do that again, for sure, but not do other things that would cause people to be angry or for me not to have a positive impact on how people were going to react to me. The Chinese have a saying, an inch of time is an inch of gold, but an inch of time cannot be purchased for an inch of gold. And so in Chinese, that's yi cun guan yin, yi cun jin nan mai, cun guan yin.
Kari was the first person from Cargill to oversee a feasibility study to launch corn milling in China. Her work resulted in the development of three industrial plants. In addition to being a success in business, however, Kari wanted to be a mother. So Kari and her family returned home to the U.S. In May of 1999, Allison Rose Andrade arrived 2 months early. Because of medical complications toward the end of the pregnancy, both Kari and Allison nearly died. During her recovery, Kari had time to think about her priorities.
Having that really intense near-death experience made me realize what my priorities were, and I decided that I wanted to be there every step of the way for her and to see her first steps and rolling over. And so I left a brilliant career with Cargill, walked away, and then we moved to North Carolina. And I have not regretted it one day.
Allison, you have a very unique and perhaps honest way to understand how your mother moves through the world. So maybe could you tell us a little bit about your experience of her as someone who came up with this concept of the buffer?
Yeah. Her experience with time, I think, is really unique in a way that she's always wanting to put 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag. I think that she has this expectation that she is the buffer. It's like created as a stress-relieving tactic, but I feel like with anything, if you put too much emphasis on it, it can become stressful.
My daughter, Frances, is the same age as Allison, and they grew up together. I wondered if she noticed whether or not our two families handled time differently.
I noticed that time was taken more seriously in the Andrade household. It was very different from my own family, where things sort of just happen whenever they happen, and dinner might happen at 6 p.m. or it might happen at 10 p.m. I wasn't sure why my mom was so fascinated with time and productivity and these topics. So I asked her, like, maybe 6 months ago. And she told me that when she was a child, she said from the age of 3, that seems very prodigious, but she felt that everyone was running around just living their lives like they weren't going to die. And that really stuck with me. We don't think about time in a very deep sense. We usually think about time as one day to the next, but it's important to think how we prioritize our lives with the idea always within our minds that we're gonna die. Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, how are you doing, Dad?
Good. How are you? Everything okay?
Yeah, okay, so we're ready. We got a whole crowd in here. So Allison's going to read to you a paragraph from the book about you.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. then you and I are going to, the three of us are going to discuss it, okay? And so we'd like to hear your reactions, okay?
Okay.
All right.
This is Allison. Kari's parents divorced when she was young. After that, she and her sister lived primarily with their dad. Kari's stepmother, a literary agent, brought stability to Kari's childhood and encouraged a love of books and learning in their home. Her father, Eddie, a professor, alderman, restaurateur, and political activist, inspired professionalism and competence. He told me that he thrived on discussions at dinner with his two daughters. I wanted them to be engaged in the world, he said. I wanted them to change the world, poor darlings. I was not stern. I was a let-it-happen hippie. Eddie and Kari argued over current events, such as what was best for China. Eddie was a communist, while Kari was an unabashed capitalist from a young age. When Kari was 10, her dad enrolled her in an experimental school. After only a month, she told her dad that she wanted to go to a school that would help her get a good job.
Yes.
So does that ring true?
Oh, yes, I'm afraid it does. Guilty. I tend to be very serendipitous, you know. Well, whatever happens, you know, we can work our way through it no matter what comes at us. What the hell? You look at that and you think, Jesus, that's nuts. My God.
Do you remember that we were always the last people that showed up at Grandma and Grandpa's for the family holiday dinners?
That's probably true.
Do you remember they always made us bring the milk? And I think that's because everything else was already ready, and then it was just all we had to do was put the milk on the table and we could eat.
It's much more sensible, much more practical, and actually much more socially responsible to be on time and to be punctual and to be responsible in that way. Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
And I'm a pretty responsible adult, right? What did you say? I was born 40? And you're forever 25? Isn't that the line? So why am I the way I am, do you think?
I love you the way you are. You're an amazing, incredible, and wonderful person. And you're filled with love and filled with desire to change the world for the better. I couldn't ask for a better daughter. You and I are part of the same dialectic. You know, I mean, it was part of the same life force. I'm extreme in one side, and you're an unabashed capitalist. And lovely.
It makes for a lively dinner conversation, right?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I think, though, that your promptness is a much higher form of social consciousness than my serendipitous self-indulgence, you know. I should be more responsible.
Well, that's not what this call is about.
Oh, good.
I'm not chastising you. I'm not telling you need to be the buffer. You're 80 years old. I think that ship sailed.
That's enough of a damn buffer there.
Right.
Hi, it's Julia. I'm back in the studio to do a debrief with our podcast producer, Jim Haverkamp.
So you've known Kari and her family, obviously, a long time. And it was very interesting to kind of be in the room when she was talking with her dad, Eddie. What did you notice about the two of them interacting?
Well, I think that Eddie is in complete awe of Kari. And I think you can hear that, just awe, not so much deference, but awe that Kari is bilingual in Mandarin and English, that she saw Eddie's interests and habits growing up, and then she attempted to master them, but from her own perspective. Eddie was a city council member in Minneapolis all the while Kari was growing up, very liberal in his politics. Kari also has quite liberal politics too, but he's a avowed Maoist, communist. Kari has always been a capitalist. And he was, as he described himself, a let-it-happen hippie. And Kari planned everything, still does. And so I wanted to make sure that our time in the studio could be about Kari, but it could also be about Eddie, because you learn a lot about somebody when you can talk to their parent. As I've noticed over the years, because our families are friends, Kari's daughter Allison is just like her grandpa. And I've seen that in families and even in my own, where it's just quite annoying that the things that bothered you about your parent are now suddenly in your children.
They do it on purpose.
They do it on purpose. So, you know, I don't know that Eddie's on time for anything. I don't think the buffer practice would ever be helpful to him. But for Kari, it's been her way of making her way, controlling her life when no one else would do that.
I also hadn't thought about on your calendar application, you can say, remind me 30 minutes ahead of time or whatever. So I definitely do that. And maybe that's a Kari influence.
All of the practices in the book have been the result of thinking for probably close to 20 years, truth be told. And when I first wrote about the buffer, we didn't have smartphones. And so now it's just no big deal to show up early because you have in your pocket, you've got your entertainment. But at the time, there was really nothing to do but look kind of silly if you were early. So I like that we can see this change in society as we think about this practice. When I think about my own practices, I know that because I write about time, I have to show up at least on time or early. Today, I think I was 15 minutes early, which was a little uncomfortable for me. Like, that was a little too much.
Luckily, we were already here with the lights on. And, yeah.
But I think there's a sense of not being legitimate if you don't have that part of your life figured out. And I don't want to be someone that makes excuses anymore for what kept me waiting. So I've had to work hard on the buffer. All of the practices, oddly enough, are still very relevant, and I'm still working on them. Next time on the podcast, how do we tackle those projects we have put off or seize those moments in life that might otherwise disappear? We talked to Tom Rankin about his practice, The Sliver. Thanks to Kari Andrade, her daughter Allison, her dad Eddie, and my daughter Frances for appearing in this episode. The Good Busy podcast is written and directed by me, Julia Scatliff O'Grady, produced and edited by Jim Haverkamp, and recorded at Shadowbox Studio in Durham, North Carolina. Our theme music is by Joyce Ventimiglia. If you like what you hear, you can order a copy of Good Busy, Productivity, Procrastination, and the Endless Pursuit of Balance at Amazon.com or rcwms.org.
To leave a comment about the Good Busy podcast and read more about me, Julia Scatliff O'Grady, go to jsogrady.com.
Thanks for listening.